on this busy, busy Wednesday. We're coming to you live, audio only, so we're going to, you know, no video, no seeing our smiling faces today, but we do have a special guest in studio with us, Buffalo Fanatics contributor, Buffalo State student Evan Harrington. How's it going? Second time on the pod. How you feeling?
It's doing pretty good. First time over Zoom, kind of.
Yeah.
But now we are.
You met Dom for the first time.
Yes,
what do you think?
Dom for the first time.
What are your thoughts?
A lot taller than me.
Yeah.
He's a lot taller than me. when I first met him, it was, you know.
It's through a computer screen.
Through a computer screen. I was like, oh. You can see his shoulders, see his head. Kind of just eye level.
I think you had a fake house as your background at that point, too.
Did.
Yeah, we talked about Derrick Henry game trade to the Bills.
Yeah, how funny the turntables, because the Bills, if you haven't heard, will roll into the big news of the day. Stephon Diggs is no more on this team. So that came at around 11:58 in the morning. All of a sudden, just got blasted with it. You were not expecting it, because for the longest time, it was the cap would be immeasurable, the dead cap. The Bills, you can't see him trading them. There's no question they're not trading Stephon Diggs, and all of a sudden, he's joining C.J. Stroud and company in Houston. Houstane, if you will. Initial thoughts, gentlemen. What do we think?
I think it's a shocking move because, as you alluded to with the cap, not only did it have to eat $31 million, but they basically added another $4 million against their cap for him not to play for an AFC contending team at the end of the day. So that's a little of just shows the kind of how the relationship between the Bills and Diggs, you know, unfortunately, doesn't seem to be repairable. And here we go with the trade.
Yeah, it happened. Evan, what do you think?
Well, I mean, like you mentioned, it happened. It finally happened. Whether it's the cryptic tweets or...
You sure? Get it? Because that's what he did this morning. The last cryptic tweet is a Buffalo Bill. Yeah. It wasn't really cryptic, though. I mean, it was someone comparing, you know, him with Allen and that kind of stuff. Like, you know, there is no Allen without him, that kind of thing. And
yeah.
It's like, you sure? But that was the last tweet he made as a Buffalo Bill, that Brandon Bean at that point was the guy on the airfield with the little lightsabers just pointing him out. You're out. See ya. Go to Houston. But,
whether it's just the tweets or you got ESPN First Take and other outlets saying the Bills are going to trade.
That's what they were talking about this morning before, too.
And they've been talking about it for months. Even it's been a yearly conversation at this point with the Bills over the last 2 years. When is Stephon Diggs going to get removed from the red, white, and blue? But here it is.
He's still in red, white, and blue, except...
Oh, that is true.
Dark. Yeah.
He's actually the American flag colors.
I do think it's interesting. I think I definitely have some egg on my face because I was one of the people who are like, there's no way they would trade him because it just doesn't make sense cap-wise. Like, you're not...
Aren't we all, though? I mean, I'm kind of happy to see him go, but I was in that position, too.
You make $28 million on the cap next year, so you save that. But, I mean, to add the cap, but this year is kind of just interesting, and now you're down. I mean, what you thought receiver was a big need for the Bills, and now it's like you just traded away your best receiver, so now it's like a mega need. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of what the next move is to fill that. I just find it interesting that when the Bills traded for Stephon Diggs from the Vikings, Brandon Bean alluded to that there was some kind of article that dropped about Diggs or something that he was unhappy or like he was doing cryptic tweets for Minnesota. And that's what got Bean on the phone. And I was reading an Athletic article right before we hopped on when we were trying to make sure all of our mics worked. And the Athletic article of
Tim Graham?
No, Joe B and Deanna Rossini. They talked about how Tuesday Houston approached Buffalo about the trade, and 24 hours later it happened. I'm just interested, like, the you sure, like, was that kind of, maybe that was the trigger for the Houston general manager to work the deal.
I mean, he's going at a pretty solid time. It's a good move on Houston's part in a way, because who has 4 years left on their contract? C.J. Stroud. How long Stephon Diggs got left of the money? 4 years. So you kind of have a way here of figuring it out, you know, and you've got Diggs and Stroud and Joe Mixon and Tank Dell and oh my God. Like who?
Nico Collins.
Thank you. Forgetting about him. Texans just became an absolute threat to the AFC and it's a little scary.
Yeah. And again, it's just maximizing what you have with CJ Stroud on his rookie deal. Like they are going all in with CJ Stroud and this is the smart thing to do. I mean, obviously they have Nico Collins, Tank Dell.
Yeah.
You know, you signed Joe Mixon to that extension, but everyone was like, why are you signing Joe Mixon to a 3-year deal? It doesn't really hurt them. They don't have to pay C.J. Stroud $50-plus million a year. They don't have to do that, and they can afford bringing in a guy like Stephon Diggs and paying him the money that he's going to be paid over the next few years. And again, they're maximizing what they got. Like, they made the divisional round last year. They could have easily went on to the AFC Championship, you know, with a couple better pieces on their team last year. And now they have those better pieces in-house. Hey, this is a scary team.
I mean, especially Dell was injured, too, at the end of last year. So to get him back, and it's their perspective. Also, their defensive superstars are young, too. Like, Will Anderson, he has 4 years left in his deal.
They brought in Danielle Hunter.
They were able to bring in Danielle Hunter because they're paying Will Anderson peanuts. They're paying Derek Stingley Jr. peanuts. Like,
yeah, and that's the big thing, right? You hit on the pick of quarterback, and there you go. You're working it out from there.
Well, it's really like it's that they've been able to hit in their swing, big swings, Anderson and Stingley, and also the trade that just keeps helping them, the Deshaun Watson trade. Like, they're able to get all those extra first-round picks to get all that extra talent. And, yeah, I mean, they drafted well, too. So, I mean, credit to them. I mean, it's an interesting move from the perspective of now they have kind of a three-headed monster, and it's going to be interesting. Diggs kind of always seems – I mean, he is kind of a wants-the-ball kind of guy. And
no,
I don't
know
that
firsthand.
I don't know if, like, he didn't really go to a place where he's going to be the undisputed one.
Mm-hmm. So you never know there.
And talk about a quick turnaround for the Texans. Obviously, when they traded away Deshaun Watson, everyone thought, you know, this team was going to take a little bit to get back into the playoff race and the playoff scene. And, you know, just a little bit later, they drafted C.J. Stroud. And then just like you mentioned, all the trades or all the draft picks that they have made, they have hit on every single one of them. And then all the trades and the signings that they've been making, adding guys like Diggs, Hunter, you have Collins there. You got Tank Dell back from injury. It's going to be a scary team next year.
Extremely scary. I mean, I AFC contender might be a little premature, but no, they are. They had a playoff run last year, and now you add all these pieces. I think they're a serious contender.
Well, and
for
they won
AFC.
A game.
Huh?
And they won a game in the playoffs. Course, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it is what it is with the Texans. I don't know if it stops the Bills from getting where they want to go, but it definitely, this trade definitely does hurt the team in the short term.
100%, because now you have Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir and Justin Shorter, who's unproven, and that's your wide receiver. Matt Collins. How can I forget?
You know what was surprising me today? When I was scrolling through social media and a lot of these pages were posting, these are the Bills' top three receivers at the moment, I go, all right, Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, Matt Collins. It made me actually realize, like, we are very thin at wide receiver right now, seeing Matt Collins as the team's number three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
the wide receiver train went from Thomas the Tank Engine to a bullet train, so that's where we're at now.
I think there's obviously a move to be made for the wide receiver position, and now I guess that's kind of like the segue is, what specific move is that? Like, you could go, I would say one of three ways. Either you just take one at 28, stay the conservative route, maybe even trade back if, you know, you don't really love the, and whatever. The somewhat aggressive, like the middle ground maybe is you trade for a guy, Ayuk, Higgins, but I don't think they have the salary space to really do that, eating the Diggs contract now. Or the third route, which is the Julio Jones trade route, which is you go up in the top 10, trade your 25 first, and you try and get one of the top three, which is all too aggressive route. You would lose your 25 first round pick for sure doing that. I guess the other important thing about the Diggs trade, I don't care about the fifth and sixth round picks. Those are just, the Bills have so many day three picks. Getting the second round pick from Houston, which is actually Minnesota's second round pick, is actually a valuable second round pick, because Minnesota's starting quarterback right now is Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not going to be Sam Darnold. Maybe they'll trade up in the first round because that's what everyone thinks they're going to do and whatever. But like, it's either going to be rookie quarterback or Sam Darnold. And for the Bills, you at least had to be like, that's probably a top 40 pick. So that's at least a value pick they got back. Does that help them trade up? Or is that like insurance where we could trade away our 25 first and we still would have a top 40 pick?
Right. Yeah, you don't really know.
Would you guys trade the first round pick this year, the first round pick next year, and that second round pick to move in the top five? Would you do that if it meant having a chance?
Like, you get a Brian
Harrison,
Thomas Jr.,
Harrison or neighbors?
Not Brian Thomas. No.
I think the one and two undisputed receivers in this draft are neighbors and Harrison.
Harrison.
If you had a chance at one of those two, would you?
It's interesting.
It's tough to say no. I just think it's going to take more than two firsts and a second round pick to get up to five. That would, like, you'd have to add like a couple of fourths. I'm not saying that's like a deal breaker for me, but there would probably have to be another day two pick and maybe like two day three. Like there would have, I think that'd be a little bit more. I think it might be like that may get you to like the 7 to 9 range where you get like a Dunze who's three.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I feel like every group chat. I mean, Joe, you could allude to it. Like all on that board. I'm actually quite a bit off that board. I'm all the way out on that. I don't think it's a good idea from the perspective of this. I'm not saying those dudes aren't going to be studs, but the reason why that Julio Jones trade worked out is because that was Julio effing Jones they traded. Like,
right? Yeah.
So that's one. Like, so he was totally worth the haul. I'm not saying these guys are going to be bust, but of how the Bills have like had this off season of. Getting rid of all these vets and now having all these picks, it just feels like they're all on board of like, let's make our picks, let's get better internally, and then let's next year when we get $27 million because we just traded Stephon Diggs, let's figure out how we're gonna maybe then that's when we'll attack the trade destination for wide receivers. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah, listen, I it makes the draft 10 times more interesting for me. I'm gonna be honest with you because, like you said, look at who you have for wide receiver on your team right now. I kind of like where you're coming from there. I don't know if you trade everything away to just jump up to the top five, but I do agree in the fact that you need the wide receiver train is, you know, I'm throwing the coal in
it's
the
just
furnace.
A need. It's a
need.
It's such a big need.
Yeah. Yeah. But you got to get it somewhere. So that's kind of where I'm at.
I guess what I'm at is it's such a big need. So like you could justify it, but all their moves have strictly been like, yeah, we're going to cut all these players. We're going to trade Stephon Diggs. Because we're going to try and clean up our salary cap for 2025. But also, in the same offseason, we're going to trade away our 25 first-round pick and a bunch of other later picks to then move up. Like, that just seems kind of...
Seems interesting.
It doesn't seem like it's, like, that's, like, part... Like, that seems like two plans going at once colliding with each other.
Yeah, that seems like two separate ideas. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, yeah, so my thoughts on it are, obviously, you don't want to just give up the entire house to go after one guy. But at the same time... These last 3 to 4 years, there's been a lot of young studs in the draft, whether it's a Justin Jefferson, a Jamar Chase, a Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, etc. There's been a lot of receivers taken in the, you know, top 10, top 15 that have just came out and been studs right away in the NFL. And I feel like the Bills have not been on that train. The Bills also really have never drafted a receiver in the second round or higher outside of Zay Jones in 17. Obviously, we drafted Dalton Kincaid last year, and look at what happened with that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a premier pass catcher on this team and will be in the league for a long time. Maybe the Bills roll the dice a little bit and try to get one of those premier wide receivers, not only on a 5-year rookie deal with the 5th-year extension, but early and young to pair with Josh and Dalton for a long time here.
Yeah, that could be interesting. And
I guess my question would be this, then. Would you rather trade all that capital and get Marvin Harrison Jr., or would you rather the Bills kind of stay at 28 and get that? Just thinking of a rookie like Jordan Addison, a guy that had like 800 yards, had a very productive rookie season. Like, would you rather have that scenario or scenario A, with they get the stud but they give up a lot, or scenario B where they stay in the 28-20, like maybe they do like the 4th-round pick trade-up that they love doing and get to like 25 or whatever, but they get kind of like a Jordan Addison, a solid rookie contributor, maybe not elite, but solid.
Yeah, so when thinking about that, like to me, when you give up a lot to get the guy that you want and the guy that will help benefit you down the line, I don't really ever look at the picks that you give up because you got the guy. You got your guy. You got an X-factor type player. So like when that trade and pick is made in a year or two, you're not going to be looking at it like, oh, but we gave up 2 first-round picks for the guy. You know, if we got a guy like that and he ended up just being an average mid first round receiver, then yeah, you would probably look at the picks. But if you're going after a guy like Harrison or Neighbors, that is a legit game changer that can be that alpha number one down the line, or if not in his rookie season, I think giving up those extra picks could be worth it. But I do agree with what you're saying that, you know, a guy like Jordan Addison that was drafted, you know, in, what was it, 23rd overall?
22nd.
Later, first round.
Yeah, 22nd overall later in the first. And he almost had 1,000 yards as a number two. I'm fine with that as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I also would say, like, getting someone that's the high end, right? Like,
yeah, you could very easily
get Quentin Johnston, who sucked, or mm-hmm.
You're definitely on Zay the
Flowers,
upside
who was pretty solid too. So
he's a number one receiver now.
I'm just saying solid. I'll just say solid. Like Jordan Addison, maybe a little high end, but like just a solid
a
receiver,
solid contributor to the team. Yeah, I can see both sides. Truthfully, a lot of people are kind of on the bandwagon of, hey, let's sell the house and go get our guy. But to me, the wide receiver class is so deep this draft class, and I don't know if you do need to sell the entire house to get a guy. You have like Xavier Leggett, right? Like, he's a legit wide receiver who could come in and contribute, and you could get him at pick 28. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I think there are options to the point where I think you need depth too on these picks, like to go pick. If you sell the house for the number one guy, you're Harrison Jr. right at the top. I mean, you got Harrison Jr., Khalil Shakir, Mac Hollins, and
Curtis Samuel. And honestly, who's to say after, what is it, June 1st, when we get $10 million more
right,
cap space after
Tre'Davious
White clears, mm-hmm. who says Bean doesn't try to be aggressive and maybe go after an Ayuk or mm-hmm. a T. Higgins? Like
once
you said
that
earlier.
Money clears up, you might be able to get past the first year of Diggs' dead cap hit before it
well,
lessens.
Again, I'm not going to pretend to be a financial expert in any of that stuff, but yeah. I agree with your perspective. It's like, for me, I think the best route for the Bills to go is to make the Stephon Diggs 2.0 trade,
mm-hmm.
which is to trade maybe that pick. I would prefer, I don't know. It's interesting. Like, I think I'm on the Ayuk train. I also think he wants to get paid a crap ton of money, which I don't know if I'm fully on board if like just paying another.
Could
receiver.
You backload it though to kind of get around the dead cap hits?
Well, sure. Yeah, I mean, I think his cap hit right now is 14, and mm-hmm. if you trade and extend him, you could easily lower that
right.
number.
So it might be feasible to do that.
Well,
you know?
I'm not saying it's feasible. I'm just saying like I don't know if I'm all the way bored of just giving a receiver another big contract. But mm-hmm. again, you'd be clearing $28 million in 25, so you could conceivably do that again. And Ayuk was better than Diggs last season, and yeah. he's a insanely good blocker, so he kind of could fit the Joe Brady scheme of being...
And be the Gabe Davis blocker as well.
But being mm-hmm. kind of also your number one alpha. So, yeah, I think Ayuk is probably the number one target, if I was saying, for wide receiver. But, again, how would they do that? Like, draft compensation, like, it probably would be a one. Maybe a situation where they get that two from Minnesota, and they could package maybe a two and maybe an... another one of those day three or two picks, and that's how they get it done. So I don't. And then they'd also have to give a contract extension, would be kind of
yeah.
big.
But Diggs is kind of set, leaving has kind of set all this in motion to the point now where, again, you look at your wide receiver room now and you're like, okay, where do we go from here? Because it's bare bones. And I think either plan really could work. Brandon Bean is, I mean, you heard him today. He had a presser where he basically said, you heard me on the Pat McAfee show, wide receiver in every round, as a joke, of course. But he's on the wide receiver train. He wants to go get one. And he's going to do whatever I trust in him after all these years of doing what he's done to put the team in the best position to play football starting in September. You heard him say that a lot today, and you're going to hear from him in this episode here. We're going to play a little clip for you towards the end, his message to Bills Mafia. But I trust in Bean at this point to kind of do what's best for the team. I'm going to be honest.
I will say this, though. They would not have made this. So, like, I guess there's the mega trade up. There's really four scenarios they could do.
Mm-hmm.
The mega trade up for one of the top three, halfway trade up to get Brian Thomas, the kind of stay and select or trade. And for me, there's no way Bean didn't make this move without being completely confident that he could pull off and be successful for this team with one of those four paths.
Exactly, yeah. He wouldn't put the team in a position to fail.
Which four which one of those he's going to pick? I don't know.
It's kind of ask the magic eight ball at this point and figure it out. But, I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, this is always going back to like how the Chiefs handled the whole Tyreek Hill situation.
Mm-hmm.
They trade away their star wide receiver. They bring in a
guy.
They
got a little more compensation.
Yeah,
they did
get a little
sure.
more compensation. Mm-hmm. Mind you, Hill's a little bit younger. And it's Tyreek Hill we're talking about.
He's a hyper-athlete,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Most explosive athlete to maybe ever play the game of football outside of Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders. But obviously the Chiefs got rid of Tyreek Hill, which was Mahomes' number one target outside of Kelce. They brought in a guy like Smith-Schuster. The Bills brought in a guy like Curtis Samuel, who are kind of comparable to Smith-Schuster.
He creates separation and he's fast.
In a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Bills try to go get another guy like that.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully his knee doesn't explode like Smith-Schuster's, yeah. But
the Bills need to find, I guess in that scenario, the Bills need to find their Rashee Rice. Like they need to find their, because it's not Shakir. Like Shakir's a good player. Shakir, I'm trying to like think of a like he's a
comparison.
He's like a 2.5. Like like Kincaid.
He'll be in the slot. He'll do some good things, but he's not your guaranteed number two receiver.
But I think that's a good point with the Hill thing is like they were able to kind of replace Hill by getting, you know, Smith-Schuster and then also getting eventually Rashee Rice. Now, tough thing about that is they thought they were going to do that with Sky Moore or Kadarius Toney and they whiffed on those. So hopefully the Bills don't whiff on like they could hit at least on their first attempt at trying to get that young guy, but the Bills need to find the Rashee Rice. If they could do that, if Kincaid can continue to be what he is, and Dawson Knox can kind of have a bounce back year.
After his wrist surgery, if he comes back to kind of be a pass catcher like he was.
With a solid offensive line, obviously with Mitch Morris not being there, we'll see. Yeah. And then also Josh in the run game, like, it's still a formidable offense, but they need to get another piece on the outside, maybe even two as you alluded to.
And that's one thing, too. You mentioned the run game. Joe Brady likes to use running backs in the passing game. We saw that, the emergence of James Cook. If only he could catch the ball towards the end of the season. I mean, that was the only thing there. But those are receiver options as well. So you don't run out of your receiver room necessarily after you're out of receivers.
And that's the one thing I think a lot of Bills fans and Bills Twitter and even some Bills media are kind of just overlooking is that, yes, right now our wide receiver core is a little depleted. Mm-hmm. And there does need to be a guy or two added to fill out this wide receiver room, but Brandon Bean's done a good job over the last 2 to 3 years adding guys to complement that wide receiver room, and he just doesn't call those guys tight ends or running backs. He just calls it a pass-catching room, and that's what Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox and James Cook have become. I mean, James Cook is not just your average running back out of the backfield. He was
a deep threat in college.
Right. He wasn't Devin Singletary in the 2021 playoffs where, he loaded up on a couple receptions, was like third or fourth on the team receptions that year, but Devin Singletary wasn't a dynamic player after the catch.
No.
James Cook is. We've seen James Cook take balls to the house. We've seen James Cook be a downfield threat as a pass catcher. We know what Dalton Kincaid can do, and that was just his first year. The Bills have a plan with Kincaid and Cook and even Knox, and whatever else players they're going to add.
Right, they restructured Knox or reworked Knox, so they're clearly there's something there,
And the Bills, a lot of people are saying, well, Josh Allen's going to be throwing to just Walmart employees now. They're using that term. Yeah. He still has guys. He still has the Dalton Kincaids, the Knoxes, the James Cook. Like, these are
and
very
Curtis
good
Samuel
players.
And all those guys are actually somewhat decent. So
and they were still a productive offense even when Diggs wasn't getting the numbers. Now, obviously,
they were better. You can argue they were better.
Passer rating is better.
I do have to say, I think to get play devil's advocate with that is that having Diggs out there versus not having Diggs out there is a big difference.
So yeah,
at least him having out there was a big thing. And
his route running ability alone
also
makes it a big difference.
As I always say, if Josh hits Diggs on that 90-yard touchdown, should have been against the Dolphins. We're looking at that second half for Stephon a lot. Like there was a couple of missed deep balls, and they connect on those. Like the yardage and the touchdowns are way different. We're not talking about that. So
it's gonna be like Tage Thompson at the end of the year here.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think for the Bills, it's all about, again, just they've already I mean, they had to have already known what path they didn't have. Listen, the Bills don't play a game, meaningful game, until five months from now.
They have plenty of time to put a team together that's field ready for September. You have all of training camp, everything. And now you don't have to worry about a guy not showing up for OTAs or training camp. True. So, that'll be nice. That'll be nice because that's all the news was when that happened. So listen, he's going to have his fun in Houston for a couple years, it sounds like, and then he's going to get frustrated when there's no playoff end result, right? And he's going to be off to another team for his last season, and then he's going to retire.
Has Stephon Diggs made any comments yet about the trade?
No.
What do you guys think he's going to say? Do you think he's going to go on?
He might have said something he didn't. That was an old tweet. Thank you, Bills Mafia, or something like that. But
business going to stand on business.
He'll probably say, what's up, brother? I guarantee he'll say that.
Probably something cryptic. I mean, it is kind of what it is. It was a good chapter in Bill's history of him. Obviously, he broke.
He was
the top four receiving receptions
of all time. He's Bill's top history. Four in a lot of categories, actually. He's number four.
Where do you guys think Stephon Diggs ranks amongst Bill's receivers all time?
I'd say probably right where he is up there. Probably, he hit the He had the big seasons in the shortest amount of time. I'm trying to think where I would put him.
Probably two.
Yeah,
I think right
around
the
top three, I would say.
I just don't think you could put him ahead of Andre Reed just because of longevity. I think maybe you could say peak. But then you could also argue that peak Eric Moulds was pretty good.
Yeah.
Kind of mediocre quarterback play. So right. I think two is probably the right number. I mean,
the Bills don't have a great history. They handed the key to City to Terrell Owens. So, I mean, that's pretty rough.
Let's just put it this way. He was on the path to be the greatest Bills receiver of all time if he played more than four seasons. But he didn't.
Yeah. And
he won't. Like, he's not coming back.
So. No, he won't. And he's in Texas.
Well, he did say he would finish career as a Buffalo Bill.
He did.
Cole Beasley, John Brown.
Cole Beasley threw out a tweet right away. Come on my fishing boat or something like that.
They all came back to Buffalo.
Did
so
you guys see Isaiah McKenzie's Instagram?
Yeah, he threw him up there with P. Diddy and everything. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, it's a whole
thing. Still have no idea how, just random, I know, like, we still have no idea how Isaiah McKenzie got kicked out of the Colts.
That's what I'm wondering. Maybe he was too much of a Bills homer because he kept tweeting out Bills fan stuff, remember? But
I don't know.
I mean, that's right now with the way the Diggs situation worked out, like you said, there are four avenues to go. I trust in the front office to find the best.
This is probably the easiest thing to say.
Okay.
Who is the Bills wide receiver?
Right now?
Who's the Bills? No. September, whatever, their first game. Who's the first
receiver? Ayuk.
There you go.
Man, this is putting me on the spot.
I think it's Ayuk and then Xavier Leggett. I think that's what ends up happening.
You think? I don't think
they trade up to the top. If they get Ayuk, they don't do that. Mm-hmm.
But did they get Ayuk before the draft or after the draft?
I think in the next couple weeks you'd get Ayuk. Once, especially you know the money's clearing up in June.
I just don't know if they could do that until June.
You don't think so?
Because I don't know if they can go in the negatives until. I don't know if they can.
Maybe.
I think it's a hard cap.
Technicality, yeah. So either way, I think it's going to be Ayuk, though, with I don't think they're going to sell the house in the draft. I think they're going to go the more conservative route to build some depth and go from there.
What if they do this? What if they go get T. Higgins and then move up to the middle of the draft and get a guy maybe like Brian Thomas?
I wouldn't be opposed to that as long as they don't give up too much draft capital. T. Higgins, though, I'm kind of like, I don't know why. I just don't have the best feeling.
Because I feel like T. Higgins is going to be a lesser cost than Brandon Ayuk.
Mm-hmm. But Brandon Ayuk, I think you're going to get a better product.
Well, I know that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's going to be a lot harder to get Ayuk in Buffalo.
He tweets at Mike Tomlin. He clearly wants to go to the Sabres, so you might have to convince him.
You mean the Steelers?
Steelers. Gosh.
Hey, wait, people want to play for the Sabres?
Me right now.
Yeah.
Wild.
Oh. Wild. The star player wants to leave the market. I think with T, he did, so T isn't under. No, I'm sorry. He's under the franchise tag, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. They'd have to extend him.
They have
to
figure it out.
It's similar to the Ayuk thing, and his price I think would be. I don't know. I think his price would probably be late first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
So would Ayuk be late first round pick?
Probably.
So.
That's Brandon Ayuk's, or not Brandon Ayuk.
That's Isaiah McKenzie.
Isaiah McKenzie's Instagram post. He's got P. Diddy, Usher, and Diggs at a pool. If we had video, you'd be seeing it too. It's a little goofy, but Isaiah McKenzie's starting the cryptic.
Like, what's Instagram the backstory post behind? I'm not going to get into it.
No idea.
I don't even
know. No idea. It's the weirdest thing that could possibly be.
And everyone's like, they got beef?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, but the number one receiver will be Dalton Kincaid.
I love it. It's going to be the next it's copycat league. It's going to be the next Kansas City Chiefs, man. That's all I'm saying.
Here's my bold prediction.
Okay.
5.5 months away from the NFL season.
Okay.
The top two pass catchers in the Buffalo Bills next year. I agree with Dom here. Dalton Kincaid and number two, James Cook. Reception-wise, not yardage-wise.
See, I don't know if I'm...
If only James Cook can catch, I would be on you with that.
Reception-wise.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm... See...
I don't know what the Bills are going to do at wide receiver. That's the thing. If we got Ayuk, I'd say he would be number one.
Right.
True.
Yeah.
If I was the Bills, I would really see what Ayuk is and how would I figure that contract. Like, he'd be the number one option. I think my number two option is to do what they did in 2021 with the double edge rusher. I would go double wide receiver.
Oh, okay.
I would go 28. I would trade back, pick up a third round pick. Pick whatever receiver you like, 60 or the late 60s.
It's early 60s.
Pick whoever receiver you like, and then pick Javon Baker, the wide receiver at UCF, because that worked out pretty well last time. I would go double wide receiver and go completely all youth.
Well, the wide receiver train again went from Thomas the Tank Engine to a bullet train, so I'm all for that.
I think it's going to be Kincaid wide receiver one. I think Curtis Samuels is going to be number two, and then whoever the best rookie out of the two they draft is going to be three.
I like it. And again, that depends on do they bring in a Brandon Ayuk or what's his name? T. Higgins.
Yeah, T. Higgins. I just don't think there's another, like,
there's not another big name out there.
I don't even know who they would be able to, like, I was thinking, like, maybe they draft someone and then maybe they sign someone to, like, a cheaper deal that, but, like, Tyler Boyd, but Tyler Boyd seems like he wants to be a Steeler. So.
Yeah.
I mean,
why does everyone want to be a Steeler? Because Russell Wilson's
He's from Pittsburgh.
Steelers country, let's smelt. That's what it is.
He went to Pittsburgh, so I think that's why.
Mm-hmm.
These are the most exciting times, though, draft-wise.
Well, now that the Bills actually have, like, a huge, huge need. Like, wide receiver was just a want before with Diggs, right? You needed one, but you didn't have to go up into the top five picks or anything like that to go get one.
Here's my thing. They always had a future need of finding who's going to be the Stephon Diggs replacement, especially because you and I both talked about this. Like, they didn't touch his contract this offseason. So, like, there was potential where they just straight up cut him next offseason.
We knew that something might have been brutal.
They had to figure out a wide receiver one event, like, for 2025 and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't think we had to talk about 2024 and beyond. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's interesting. Again, Rashid Rice. I think that's they need to find their Rashid Rice because it's similar to the Tyreek Hill thing. The thing I'll say about the Tyreek Hill thing is Tyreek Hill got traded before he got paid.
He did.
So I think that, like,
and he got more capital in return.
Well,
with
that,
yeah,
because he was younger, he's a better player,
mm-hmm.
And he was an ascending player too. Diggs is kind of a descending player. But
yeah, maybe in the right system he won't be. You never know. He could explode on the Texans. We have no idea.
I think he could still be a 1,000-yard receiver. I just don't think he's gonna be top five.
Yeah, and like you said, he's going there, and he might not even be the number one receiver, so we don't know how that'll fall out. We might see some cryptic tweets from Houston. I'll be looking forward to that.
Houston, we have a problem.
Houston, we have a problem. We've been chatting about that all show. It's the big breaking news of the day. Dom's got something for us today, though. We're going to try something out here. He's going to let a steamer out, a nice hot take on the listeners, on Evan Harrington and I, and we are going to respond. It's a new segment we're going to try and do towards the end of some shows here. And even if we get some more guests in here, we'll see, you know, who can do it. And Dom, take it away. What do we call this?
I don't know.
Hot Take Central? Something like that?
Hot Take Central. That's a group chat name.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to think of something, you know, fun to do. We had the Would You Rather for the longest time.
Yeah, we got to think of a game to end the show.
That's,
you know, something
fun
like that.
So I had two that I was thinking about.
Oh, God.
One was how I thought it was so stupid that recently that Jay Williams talked about Caitlin Clark not being considered the greatest women's college basketball player of all time.
Are you kidding me?
Because she hasn't won a championship maybe yet, because she could still win. But I think that's not really a hot take. I think that's just kind of everyone clowned on him. But I don't know if this is a hot take. It's just kind of, I think it's more catered toward me because I was a tennis player at one point.
Oh, okay.
In my career. But I find tennis to be a lot more watchable than golf.
I don't think that's a hot take.
Really?
Listen, golf is like, it's baseball, right? I don't like to sit down and watch a four-hour baseball game. Now the new rules, I mean, the first game in the Soul Series was like 4 hours. It didn't fix anything, but...
I did not expect this.
No, tennis, my aunt's a tennis player, so I've been around.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a little more high energy, if you will. Like, there's a lot more action happening in front of you constantly, where golf, it's just the whispering commentator like this. He walks up to the green, and it's just like, I don't know, I would fall asleep watching golf late at night.
Golf? Is I do every once in a while enjoy watching, like, the final round of
right, and even like Oak Hill last year, it was local. Like, I was tuned into that. I was interested.
Sure, like a major, like, or whatever. But, like, yeah. I was always kind of like the casual tennis guy, where, like,
you played tennis.
Yeah, but, like, every couple months, like, there's the majors every couple months, and, like, I would really tune in for, like, those 2 weeks because that was cool. Now, like, I've started to tune into, like, the other, like they're called Master 1000 tournaments, which is like a tier below the majors.
Yeah,
I've really started to tune into those. And I don't know, I just, like, I've really enjoyed it. Obviously, I was a tennis player, so I have some kind of
A little bias, yeah.
A little bias, but it's also a perspective of this. Tennis has done a fantastic job in really two categories.
Mm-hmm.
One, the challenge system has always, like, the technology, like, now they don't even have line umpires. They have, like
a camera or,
like, they have
a machine,
like, a computer
or
that says out or whatever. Like, they've mastered that. Like, so they've mastered, like, the challenges, so you don't get, like, crappy calls or whatever.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about throwing the flag.
You don't have to worry about, like, oh, that ball is in, but they called it out, and now it's, like, that's human error. Like, there's no human error really involved anymore other than, like, occasional umpire blow. And two, the serve clock, like, kind of with the pitch clock of baseball, like, you're constantly, like...
You have to go
constantly
correct.
Getting action.
Yeah.
And, like, if golf, like... So, like, in tennis, like, it's, like, 25, 30 seconds you have to serve after every point or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, if golf, you're like...
You need a guy like Happy Gilmore to revitalize
and golf.
But, you know?
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Yeah.
They weren't lying in the movie.
No.
New movie's coming out, though, for that.
Happy Gilmore, too. And he's also... There's going to be a series. Will Ferrell's doing a golf series, like Talladega Nights. but golf style, and Happy Gilmore is going to make a cameo.
That's nice.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Are we going to get a Happy Gilmore multi-universe?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Happy Gilmore cinematic universe.
Not the MCU anymore, just the
HGCU.
Yeah. Cinematic. Yeah.
I'm so
what are your thoughts on tennis? What do you got?
So I'm going to agree with you, Dom. I think tennis is a lot more exciting to watch than golf because – but it's to me, I like playing golf more than tennis. I never played tennis. Okay. I play golf occasionally with buddies. Mm-hmm. To me, golf is a sport that your grandpa or uncle is watching on Thanksgiving before the football game's on.
It's just on TV.
And he's just sitting there in his reclining chair and just watching it.
Yeah.
And everyone else is gathering around in the kitchen and by the island. And
but there's the few that are just in the living room with golf.
Like, they're like, oh, what's going on here? What's going on? And you're like, oh, he's still setting up his shot.
Mm-hmm.
He's still on hole one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, oh, he's only taking three.
Oh, it's in the rough.
It's been like an hour. And you're like, oh, he's still going.
Mm-hmm.
But in tennis, it's a lot
quicker back and pace. Forth. And
quick it's and a forth. Lot more entertaining to watch on TV.
And that's I'll go to the point. Like, to me, I think softball is more enjoyable to watch on TV than baseball. That's just me.
Oh.
Because it's the ball's more in play.
It
in
is.
Softball, there's it's more action going on in the infield.
Yeah.
Now, in person, if you're asking would I watch a pro softball game or a pro baseball game, I'm gonna watch a pro baseball.
Absolutely,
game.
No. That's baseball's made for an in person event,
but,
though.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like that's kind of where it is. But you're absolutely
but
right.
That's kind of like they kind of tie.
Do they use like minimum fly softballs? You're part of Buff State Athletics crew. Do they? Is that what they use? Like to stop them from flying out all the time or stuff like that?
What do you mean minimum fly?
Like they have different types of softballs with different weights that prevent them from going certain distances, right?
Kind of like with the baseball.
Right.
I think they just use normal.
Just normal
NCAA.
Just regulation. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But again,
just asking.
Like with tennis, they have the serve clock, and then in golf, like they'll pan to someone and they'll like do like that fake like, oh, I'm going to do the chip, and like they do it like 15 times before they hit the shot. It's like, okay, like I just wasted 30 seconds of my life watching this guy like practice.
The golf I like watching though is the match.
That's good.
I like that.
But they're all mic'd up. They're all, you know, it's different.
It's personality.
Like,
honestly, I would like to see that with pickleball.
Pickleball's getting big.
Because a lot of these athletes play pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Florida,
ex-tennis players now play pickleball.
Yeah.
But I think I could somewhat agree if you're golf. Like I'm good at tennis, so like I enjoy playing tennis. Mm-hmm. But like I think
we're terrible at golf.
Like with golf though, like
I shot a 127 and 18.
Okay. Okay. Whoa!
Whoa! You should have seen us out there. We've gone golfing.
Well, that's bad.
Yeah, but living in Western New York, like playing tennis is like a 3-month sport.
You can't really
always
do it.
Rains or it's always super cold. So there's like a 3-month window, and also like you have to play with someone that's like your equal. Because if you play with someone who's not very good, it's not fun. And if you play with someone who just kicks your butt, like it's not fun. But like if golf, like. I mean,
you were teaching me tennis in your driveway one time. Remember?
No, I remember that golf. Yeah. Like you could go to the you could go to the dome we have and kind of golf inside. And then I'm not good at golf, but you could go to just a driving range if your buddies and swing and fun.
I mean,
you'd be
or putt, even putt. It's technically putting, right? Like that's a whole different thing. And I mean, that's where Happy Gilmore learned, right? That's how he learned to control.
Everyone's tried to be Happy Gilmore at one point in their life.
That's the only way I can drive successfully is if I charge up like that. I can't stand still.
I know when I was golfing a couple weeks ago, or like 3-4 weeks ago, when the weather was super nice for like one day at the beginning of March.
Yeah, when we got spring in the beginning of March.
Yeah, it was like March 5th or something. Mm-hmm. I couldn't hit the ball off the tee with my driver to save my life. Yeah. But as soon as I go up there and crank it like Happy –
it's gone.
Dude, right down the fairway. Right down the fairway, and a par 5 turned into like almost a birdie for me. They're like, dude, if you hit like one more decent shot, like you have a chance at birdie.
Yeah, well, as Dom,
how'd that shot go?
I was like maybe 3 over.
Well, you can ask Dom. My girlfriend went dumpster diving for me. Not really. Outside the back of a hotel. There was a golf tournament, and they all left their clubs just in like tied up in recycling bins.
Your
right?
clubs are bad. You need to get actual
They're woods from like 1945. Like they do like
– vintage.
Dom has said a couple times, I've hit a couple good ones. He's like, wow, if you had a club from this century, it actually would have gone
millennial.
Somewhere. Yeah, right. Exactly. So listen, I agree to circle back. Tennis is definitely more watchable than golf, but golf I would prefer to play. But you, of course, have played tennis, so that's a little different for you. But I like that segment. I think we're going to continue. We'll see how it goes. Any closing remarks from you, gentlemen, before we sign off?
Well, my dad's now in a free agent jersey market that I am in because he had the Diggs jersey. So.
Oh, look at that.
See.
We got to see who you end up with.
I've never bought a Diggs jersey.
What jersey do you rep again? I forget.
So
you have an AFC retro one, right?
Yeah. So I have mm-hmm. I have a small story of jerseys. Every player that I've bought in for the Bills outside of Josh Allen mm-hmm. has been either traded or released.
like our producer.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Devin Singletary. I bought.
You had a Singletary jersey?
Yes, it's signed.
Man, that's kind of cool. Actually, and he had a good season.
He got released, or mm-hmm. no? He's just a free agent. He's
on the Giants now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tremaine Edmonds. That one's signed.
Yeah.
That one's fully signed by like everyone on the team.
I have a Knox signed and nobody doesn't go anywhere.
Trey White.
Oh, that's the one you wear.
I also have a Tyler Bass jersey. I got that one.
You just didn't want to.
I didn't buy it though. I got it. I won it in like an auction.
Yeah, you gotta wear the T-Bass one now.
It's a little big, but I wear it.
Wear a sweatshirt underneath it.
That's true.
Yeah,
I know.
I have some other jerseys too. I have Doug Flutie and a Willis.
I'm still a year in my free agency after Tremaine. I haven't really.
Ask Don, the jerseys I have are just egregious. I have like the navy blue and red CJ Spiller with the Toronto series patch on it. 21 before McGahee showed up, right? So I have Allen's Wyoming jersey.
McGahee was before Spiller.
Yeah.
But Spiller was 21 before McGahee was.
No, Spiller's 28.
He was 20. Spiller jersey's 21. That's what he was before 28, yeah. I did the research after I bought the jersey because I thought it was fake, but it wasn't. He actually was 21 with the Bills in the Toronto series.
McGahee was here with Spiller?
I don't know. I think Spiller came after because he was 21.
Yeah, no. McGahee played before.
Yeah, and then Spiller was 21 before he was 28.
Oh, my bad. I thought you were saying Spiller is 21 before.
Oh, that's
before
what I thought you were saying, too.
Yeah, no, that's
what
I was
sorry.
Like,
I might have phrased it completely wrong, but that's what we just got to is what I was trying to say. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay.
That's a cool little Toronto series patch.
Yeah, I hate to wear it, but it's a nice one to wear under some sweatshirts and stuff. We went to that Patriots game a couple
Stop
years
talking.
Back.
How did that game
ever I know another jersey you have that's pretty interesting.
What one?
I don't know if I should say it or not.
Just what is it?
The OJ one?
I forgot you have an OJ.
Wait, do I have an OJ one?
I swear you have an OJ one.
I don't think I have an OJ Simpson jersey.
What happened to your bleached? What one did get bleached? Like sun bleached?
What? Oh, my old Allen jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah, my old Allen jersey. I don't have an OJ
thinking
Simpson
of someone,
jersey.
I'm thinking of someone else.
Having an OJ jersey would be kind
I
of
swear you had one.
I don't have an OJ Simpson. I think you're thinking of someone else. I have never owned an OJ Simpson jersey.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I'll have to look at my jersey collection to see if I do have one. I have a Matt Milano jersey.
Just accused him of supporting murderer, but
well, sorry about that, Joe.
On that note, that's going to do it for this edition of the Buffalonian Podcast. My name's Joe Calley. As always, I'm joined by Dom Lawson. Thank you to Evan Harrington for coming on. Might be a recurring guest here, so we're going to see if we can keep him around. Doesn't get tired of us too soon. Dom, Evan, we normally end these with a Go Bills. You ready? Give us a Go Bills to close it out.
Go Bills, baby.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.